what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just absolutely love to talk about and watch and things like that. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Banter Blender podcast, and joining me, as usual, is Ronnie Karam from trashtalktv.com. Hi, Ronnie.
Hello, Ben.
Hello, hello. You know, last week I erroneously said that Real Housewives of Melbourne were coming back last week, but they're not. They're coming back this week, tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, Ben.
Many Australian accents to come, I'm sure. But in the meantime, mosey on over to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links. They're very rewarding. Chief among them is facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens. Where we post all sorts of links and photos and screenshots. It's a really active, fun community over there. Really enriches the Watch What Crappens experience and the life experience, I might even say. So like that, because it makes us feel happy. And also, if you support us on Patreon.com, Patreon, patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens, you get all sorts of perks, like access to a Google Hangout once a month, or ringtones, or once a week you get some bonus content. Ronnie and I just recorded a lengthy one, 1 hour's worth, where we talked about everything from the Real Housewives of New York trailer to a whole bunch of stuff about gay things. We really got real serious there, didn't we?
Yeah, that got real.
We got real. We talked about gay identity and Russell Tovey and what it means to be gay and gay marriage. We got real, guys.
Yeah, that one's real gay, guys.
It was a real...
Are you into gay politics? Get over there.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you just want to hear us talk about the Real Housewives of New York City trailer, that's where you go. So I think that's it. I think I've pimped out all that we need to pimp out, right?
Yes.
Well, that's good.
I think so.
Because we have much to talk about this week. We have a near throwdown on Atlanta. We have an actual throwdown on Beverly Hills. We have the Vanderpump Rules season finale, and we have the Shaw's of Sunset season premiere. Wow, it's a lot.
Yeah, let's do it. What do you want to start with, Ben?
I think we have to start with Beverly Hills. It's like, you know, once in a while, an episode of a Bravo show comes around where you're watching it and you can't believe what you're seeing, and you have to start texting your friends. That was me last night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kim Richards.
Kim Richards.
Oh my
Kim
God.
Richards.
And also,
take a seat.
Bravo flipped the script on us by opening with that.
Opening
scene.
With the fight. I was shocked. I was like, we are 12 minutes in and I'm already jaw to the ground.
Yeah, my phone started buzzing like crazy. Everybody was texting me, can you believe this shit?
I know. I just was like texting people. I was like, Kim Richards. Kim motherfucking Richards. Kim Richards really needs to. She needs to slow her roll and take a seat. She needs to,
Kim
needs
Richards
to stop
needs
rolling
a
her seat.
Okay, yeah. If anybody is going to be giving Kim Richards drugs anytime soon, make it some downers. Let's try those.
Oh my God, I feel like one of the most noteworthy fights on Beverly Hills history.
Yeah, this was pretty good. So it starts with Yolanda they arrive. I can't wait for Melbourne. They arrive in Holland. And Yolanda, of course, is claiming everything is Dutch. She's like, oh, look, the room is blue. It's so dark. Oh, look at the horses. That's so Dutch. Oh, people are on bicycles. That is so Dutch.
There are two chairs in this room. That's so Dutch. Dutch people love chairs and beds. Oh, Dutch people love to sleep in a bed.
A man held a door open for me at a hotel. That is so Dutch.
There's a tick in the ensuite. That's so Dutch.
Oh, they have pillows on the bed in a hotel room. That is so Dutch.
So it starts with that. There's, I guess, a little tension in the air just because Kim and Brandy are there. And they're, you know, they're going to be awful. You just You just know because Brandy has been winding up her little Coke doll. Yeah. Winding her up.
Winding her up.
Crank.
Yep.
Crank. Yep. And they finally get to dinner.
And by the way, Yolanda Kim Richards was the last person ready to go. They all meet in the lobby. She was the last. Never forget.
Always.
Never forget airport
comes
gate.
In wiping her nose every time. So they go to dinner finally. And of course, since this is Yolanda's trip, it has to begin with a Yolanda speech.
Yes. By the way,
Welcome all to my dinner.
Yeah. But by the way, it's also a very stirring the pot speech, if you ask me.
Oh, yeah. She's like, let us all talk about our deepest issues to make us closer together, because that's what the Dutch do. For example, my daughter got DUI. I'm so sad. Okay, now who? Kim?
Now who? Yeah.
Of course, Lisa Rinna, who is already a pro housewife before any of this even happened. She's already learned to manipulate every little thing to her favor. She's taken somebody else's sobriety and made it her own storyline the whole year.
Yeah.
She has gone around to every house. I mean, there are some things you got to give Kim a little credit for.
Yeah.
Lisa has done that. She has made it all about Kim's sobriety, blah, blah, blah. And so, of course, Rinna, who's just been told off by Kim, and Kim says later, she'd been texting her, let's just drop it.
Yeah.
Is the first to speak. And she starts fake crying about her sister who died. I mean, it's terrible to say, but it's true. She was fake crying about her sister dying when she was 21 of a drug overdose. And I'm sorry if I come across too harsh, but that's why, Kim. And then Kim's like, God damn it.
Well, here's the thing. On the one hand, I can sort of understand Kim's frustration because she said drop it like three times. I get that. On the other hand, Lisa was sharing something. I think that Lisa was trying to kind of illuminate. It was sort of like an apology. It was sort of like, this is why. So I'm sort of like, sorry that, like, I know you keep telling me to drop it, but if you want to know, this is why I've been like a little crazy about it. And, you know, and I think she was sort of trying to be like, sort of send an olive branch or whatever. And she's like, so that's why. And then Kim's like, she's like, no, I'm sorry if I have really like come on too strong or like messed with your situation. And then Kim's like, you have. And the music just suddenly like goes from like being sweet and like sympathetic to suddenly being like, ba-bum, like, okay, everyone get ready. Here comes the fight.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, but you have gotten into my life and you have told me stuff. I don't appreciate you.
Yeah, and I thought
you're
that was
my director.
And I thought that was a moment. I thought that was a nasty moment for Kim, actually, because I think that I do.
Oh my god! Yeah, I think that Kim was like was ready to fight.
Yeah, because I think that Lisa was being nice.
While Lisa's crying about her sister, Kim's rolling her eyes and giving her dirty looks.
Kim should have just said thank you, and it would have dropped right there. Would have ended right there. Or she could have said thank you.
If you're really recovering, you say, I really appreciate that. Thank you for explaining yourself. I'm sorry I got defensive. It's just I don't appreciate people questioning my sobriety
exactly.
on national television.
That's all you have to do.
I've obviously been working on it for 3 years. It's starting to feel like people are like going after me on purpose, and I just didn't appreciate it. That's all. I'm sorry I yelled.
That's all she had to do.
But
all she had
Kim
to do.
Is obviously either still used. I mean, nobody who's in recovery is that defensive. I'm sorry. I've never seen it.
Absolutely.
When you're in recovery, that's when you hit rock bottom and you just become, you have to learn to
be accountable for your actions
humility.
And realize that people,
accountability.
The way that people are reacting to you is because of stuff that you've done. In the case of Kim Richards, she was high as a kite with Lisa Rinna in a car for an hour. So of course Lisa Rinna is going to go around asking people like, is everything okay with Kim? Is she really sober? Like, I honestly think that, I mean, I know I'm not like alone in this, but I think that, like, you know, Lisa Rinna doesn't know Kim very well, and she was exposed to Kim being very high and disruptive for a night, and I think it's totally reasonable, especially when someone like Lisa Rinna has had this exposure to people who've been addicts. I think it's reasonable for her to go around and be like, hey, what's the deal with Kim? Is she really in treatment? Does she have a sponsor? Like, is she okay? I think it's like, it is stirring the pot, but it's also like a reasonable stirring the pot. Like, the pot needed to be stirred a little bit.
Well, yeah, it's saying, you know, she's saying she's sober, but no one questions it. Has she even been to rehab? Because, you know, it's pretty rare to be drunk since you're 6 years old or whatever, and then just suddenly be sober because you hired some guy that comes to your house and tells you everything's going to be okay every once in a while. You know, that's not really the program. And some people don't believe in the program, like Passages. I met an addict this week. We were talking about addiction, and he was saying that Passages doesn't believe in that. They don't believe in the AA way of doing things. Right. They have a whole different way of doing things, which is about personal responsibility and what caused you to do drugs in the first place and
right.
why you're making that choice. It's not that the drugs are evil. It's that your choices are self-destructive because you hate yourself or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
There's like different ways to look at it, but Kim's not even doing that. She's never said what she's done. She's hired some guy to come in and talk to her occasionally, like some kind of right. therapist.
Well, she says she was in treatment. That's what she says. No, that's what she's learned
she's
in
been
treatment.
In and out in of treatment for right. years.
That, right, that's of. What I'm saying. I wasn't saying it as support for her, but I'm saying that's like all she says, this vague term being in treatment, which, you know, it's treatment is actually supposed to, it's like an ongoing thing. Like I have a friend, like one of my very good friends is sober. And he's great. He's like, you know, you would think that this is a demon. This is an issue that he no longer has to deal with because he's just, you know, he comes to bars with us. He is like around drunk people all the time. Like, it just seems like, oh, like he has a handle on this. But you know what though? He still goes to AA meetings religiously every single week. Even when we went out of town, like a group of us went out of town. He found an AA meeting in Big Bear, which is where we went. Like it's important because it's like important for a lot of people to stay on track, you know? And I think that one of the issues here is that there doesn't seem to be any indication like that Kim seems to be doing anything now that she's out of treatment. Like it's like, it should be it would seem that if you're following a certain brand of treatment, maybe not the Passages version, that you'd be doing some outpatient stuff.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's from lookers on. They're like, well, I don't see her in treatment, and she's still acting really irrational and erratic. Yeah. And even before that night, she was still acting
exactly
like a drunk. And I don't know if that's because so many of her brain cells have been eaten by the alcohol. And I'm not even saying that to be a dick. But, you know, long-term drunks sometimes are just like, that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the other thing is,
it's not like Kim was just a drinker anyway. There were drugs involved. Don't you remember when she was crawling around on the floor trying to find a baggie? What the hell was that?
Yeah,
it's not just drugs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just alcohol.
Well, you know, also, I mean, you know, Kim's defense to Lee Serena was like, listen, like, I've been sober for three
my
years.
My real friends know I've been drinking. And my real friends were proud of me. And my real friends would have said something if they saw that kind of behavior.
Lisa says, I saw it.
Yeah, exactly. Lisa's like, well, I did see it. And I thought that was such a great thing for her to say because it doesn't matter if Brandy or Lisa Vanderpump or Kyle haven't seen it. What matters is that someone saw it. And it's like, I don't know. I just think it's like, I don't think that it's wrong for Lisa to have gone and talked to people. Because, listen, put yourself in that situation. How many times have you been with someone and that you don't really know very well and they are like wasted, you know? Like imagine you go out with someone and they're like wasted. Or they're like just high as a kite, and they're just a sloppy mess. And then afterwards, you go, "What's the deal with that person? Like, are they like they're drunk, right? Are they like an alcoholic? You know, like, it's I don't know. It's like a normal thing."
All of this is that, and this was what ran through the entire episode, not just this fight, but what makes this worse is that they're on national TV, right? So she's basically saying, "You're going on national TV and calling me a drunk behind my back to everybody on camera, and using it as your storyline."
Yeah.
And then you're coming to me at some party acting like you give a shit about me when obviously you don't because you've been hurting me by saying all this shit about me on national TV, which hurts my children. But the thing that bugs me so much about Kim is she cannot even phrase it to where she's ever responsible. She says things like, alcohol ruined my life for years and now it's not going to anymore. And I'm not going to let Lisa either. No, alcohol didn't ruin your life. You ruined your fucking life.
Yeah.
You ruined your children's life. You did this, Kim. You drank. You used. You were the fuck up.
You took a pill. You took a pill that you were like, well, you know, she keeps saying, well, I took a pill and, you know, it didn't agree with me and I shouldn't be
the pain.
But it's like it's not as simple as that. Like you don't take a pill that's not prescribed to you, that you don't know especially if you're an addict.
Was obviously not just a pill.
Yeah.
Look, anybody who I'm from addicts, I could be an addict at any point. Lord knows I go there and experiment. And I've taken pretty much every pill and I've never taken a pill like that. That makes you act like that. She was a drunk mess. That was not a pill. I mean, give me a break.
And
so to even play with her on that is everybody being in denial. And I can't believe that nobody said, there's no way that was a fucking pain pill, Kim. There's no way. What was it?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we sound very harsh right now. I feel like we're sounding like, it's your fault. Yeah, no. Like, it's not, we're not trying to, like, shame her being like, she should be ashamed of the fact that she's an addict. But it's more like it's frustrating to hear her be so, like, I feel like being incredibly defensive and not understanding her role in this situation. You know, I think that's what's frustrating for me personally.
Yes, that's what frustrates me. Just coming from it, being raised around it, and having so many family members going through it right now, and to see somebody being so irresponsible about it just pisses me off. I don't care
representing
if you're a drunk or a drug
way.
Addict.
Yeah.
If you are, you're probably one of my best friends because I'm no angel. Right. But it just bugs me seeing people take zero responsibility. You've got to own your shit, man.
Right.
And this girl not only doesn't own it, but puts it on everybody else and tortures everybody else with it. It's nobody's fault.
And
bitch.
I also really don't like, just to fast forward a little bit into the fight.
This was actually the most fun fight. And
It was like fun, but like serious thing. Too. Because the thing, okay, so we'll just describe a little bit of the fight and then I'll get to this point. So what happens is that Kim gets really mad at Lisa Rinna. And then she's like, well, we don't talk about in your home life. We don't talk about Harry or whatever. And she starts like implying that she has some sort of dirt on Lisa, Lisa Rinna, like that she knows something, like things aren't right. Like maybe there's an affair or maybe there's some infidelity or things are like fake or whatever. She starts to get really nasty about it. And, you know, in my mind, that was like, it just read as Brandy. It was like, clearly Brandy has been feeding her things. Like, well, I heard that Lisa Rinna is doing this. And, you know, the reason why she's doing it, by the way, this is my theory. The scene when Brandy threw the wine at Eileen, and then Eileen and Lisa were like, you're crazy. You know, rather than Brandy, you know, it probably made Brandy feel like shit. You know, these are two women that she looked up to, and they're both like, you're crazy. And Brandy's way of dealing with it is probably to turn them into the bad ones, you know, rather than to acknowledge the fact that what she did was, like, totally batshit crazy and ridiculous. You know, that's, like, very basic psychology, you know, like...
Well, no one takes Brandy seriously anymore, so she's using somebody else to fight her battles. And it's so obvious that she's doing it. And she's just sitting there with, like, a little smile on her face while she drinks her wine and watches it.
Yeah, exactly. So she obviously is, like, feeding all sorts of lines to Kim about Eileen and to Eileen and Lisa. Because in the middle of this, while Kim is starting to talk about, suggest things about Lisa's home life, then she starts going after Eileen. Because Eileen is chirping up. Eileen is great during this fight, I'd like to say. She is so, like, soap opera dramatic.
She pulls out her Kristen DeMira.
Yeah. She
really does. She's giving her those eyes and everything. It's awesome. Because Kim starts pointing at both of them, going, you too, and you too. And she goes, don't point your fucking finger at me, Kim. Yeah. Don't do it.
I'm like, you go, boo.
Yeah, and then all I remember, Eileen said a bunch of good things, but all I can remember is her being like, shame on you, Kim. And I was like, yes,
Kim,
I love
told
that.
Her, I'm sick of you, you beast. And she went, beast? How dare you?
Yes. It was amazing. She's like, I invite you into my home, you know? And then Kim's like, well, I don't like you. And then Eileen said something, which I appreciated very much. She said, you know what? She's like, well, in this moment, I don't like you, which I thought was very good because she was saying in this moment.
Yeah. And Kim goes,
I don't like your hair, your face, your attitude.
And then she starts going after Kyle, and she's like, why don't you stick up for me? Nah, 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 nah. It was just like this whirlwind of awfulness that was coming out. Like, just, it was crazy. I mean,
she's like, Kathy is the only sister who supports me.
Yeah, when she starts saying
there's
Kathy.
No support. You know, if I'm drinking too much, Kathy will eat three boxes of ice cream. She's supportive, Kyle. What do you do? You're making money and you're raising children. You think you're so great.
When she compared her to Kathy, I was like, this woman is evil right now. And on top of that, it's like, you can see the ghost of their mother talking through Kim right now. And
she's a hateful witch. And you know that Kathy supports Kim by, like, putting money in her account and making sure there's a bodyguard standing outside with a bottle of Stoli in case Kim gets enough energy to come to a family function. They're like, no, go back to bed, Kim. Go back to bed. Kathy's given us this bottle of medicine for you. Just lie down, darling.
Yeah. Oh.
Kathy doesn't want her near any family function.
It was such a nasty moment. It was so intensely real. That's why I think it was so shocking. That's why I was like, oh my God, what is happening right here? Because this wasn't just like a spat in the basement of a New Jersey home, you know, where the hair tugging just for the camera. This was a deep shit is coming out right now. And like, you know, it goes back to my theory. Remember my theory I had? I forget what it was. Which show made me say this theory? But like, oh, it was about Orange County, about how like the slow build all season long, and then once you get to the fight, it's like the most crazy thing ever because it's been a slow build, as opposed to New Jersey, where it was like, you know, a fight for fight's sake right off the bat.
Yeah. Yep. Well, this one too is an addict in the corner. You know.
Right.
It's someone who's like, to me, I'm sorry to keep saying it, but to me, it's someone who's obviously still using being defensive, because nobody who's working on themselves and working on their sobriety would be defensive right. like that. Nobody.
I actually will not say whether or not she's still using, because I really don't know. But what I will say is, it's what you sort of what you just said is that like, she is not someone who's working on herself. It is clear she is, or she's not doing it in a productive way that seems to be showing any demonstrable effects, because she is still pointing the fingers literally at other people, you know, when she's the one who she's the one who acted crazy that night at that poker night, you know. And as Eileen mentioned, Eileen's like, no, you actually never apologized to me about that, you know. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. If someone comes in, if you're hosting something, someone comes in and they are drunk and being crazy, and then they never apologize, of course you're going to harbor resentment towards that person. You know?
Well, she didn't even really harbor resentment for her towards that. She was just talking about the basic drunk thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that she was resentful. I think she was, I mean, maybe trying to be helpful. I mean, I don't really know. Well, I don't know Eileen's motivations. It's hard to tell what she's thinking yet, because she's not out of the closet as a rank bitch yet. Yeah. She will be.
So either way, so Kim comes back to the Harry Hamlin thing, and then Lisa Rinna just loses her shit. First she jumps across the table and tries to strangle Kim. Which is like, you know, not totally unreasonable.
I put in the recap, Rinna lunges at her to throttle that turkey neck. This is how the pilgrims did it for the first Thanksgiving.
Sounds about right.
And then
she has that amazing moment where she like rises slowly, like one of these like Disney villains, like gaining power, like Ursula, like rising from the water or something like that. She rises up. She's like, "Don't you dare talk! Keep your hands off my husband!" Throws down that glass.
Throws the wine at Kim. Then throws the glass down.
Oh yeah, you're right.
On the floor.
And then so Kyle goes running. It was like amazing. And then Kyle runs away. She runs away as if the building just caught on fire. She doesn't know what to do. It was this amazing, like, primal reaction. And Kim's going,
"Everyone will know! Everyone will know!"
Oh my god, it was
Then
like,
they all leave. Meanwhile, Kim's sitting there sucking the fucking wine out of her dress.
Meanwhile, then Brandy somehow makes it about her. She's like, this is crazy. Now I'm here with glass on my skin. Da, 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 da. Like, Brandy's the real victim here. She got glass shards, which probably is just like ice cubes, you know?
And then Kim's like, me too. I got it all on my hair. Got it on my face, my skin. You have any pain pills? It hurts.
Yeah. So this is the point that I wanted to get to a little while ago. Was that then Kim starts complaining to Brandy about, like, listen, you know, come at me, it's fine. But when you start talking to everyone, you know.
She literally said this, Ben. Everybody's out of the restaurant except Brandy and Kim.
Yeah.
Kim's just screamed, "Everyone will know!"
Yeah. Breath. Shannon Bedore style.
How can people be so mean? Yeah. That's what she said.
Yeah.
I was like, bitch, are you kidding?
Yeah.
She leaned back and was like, how can people be so
unbelievable? Meanwhile, those poor Dutch people in the restaurant were like, what is going on here? But so then what happens is that Kim then has this monologue where she says, look, when I was drunk, like, I almost lost my whole family. And now I've been working on my sobriety really hard. And for someone to be going around and talk to everyone and to raise suspicion about my sobriety, this could make my kids, like, never trust me. This is really important. This affects my kids. Like, don't go after my kids. So I sort of understand the warp logic. I get it. But at the same time, I don't think you have a right to say don't go after my kids when you have just suggested on national TV that there's like a sham marriage going on between Lisa and Harry.
Oh,
like,
but talk she about did it first. Rinna did it first. That's why she did it. That's what she tells Yolanda. Well, she did it first.
That's classic Brandy. That's classic Brandy, because Brandy's whole
Who's also an addict,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, Brandy's whole thing is, like, if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back in just the same way. Instead of, like, two wrongs don't make a right, you know? And that's what Kim did, which is, like, if you are going to imperil my kids, I'm going to imperil your kids, which is really fucked up, you know?
But she imperiled her kids because she looked like a total cokehead nutcase. Like that girl looked like she found coke immediately after coming off the plane. That's what it looked like.
Right.
She looked completely wasted, screaming, yelling like a maniac. She's doing it to herself. I mean, if her kids are embarrassed, they've always been embarrassed, and nobody's done that but Kim.
Exactly. And that's the flaw in her logic, because her logic seems to make sense. Like, you're getting in between me and my family. Don't do that. Okay? But the truth is, it wasn't Lisa Rinna who is getting in between her and her family. It was Kim Richards, who took a pill, did not know what the side effects were, acted like this, and she's the one who caused the suspicions to be raised. Lisa Rinna wouldn't.
That's just silly. Like, Kim Richards took a pill. That alone, again, is just silly. That was not a pill. Kim Richards went completely haywire and off the wagon.
Whatever it was, she was in an altered state at that party, and she, you have to take responsibility for that. You can't be like, well, I took a pill, it didn't sit well with me. When you are sober, that's like, I don't know, in my mind, that's like not enough. If I were like a family member, that's like that's a really big deal. And of course, like, you have to understand the repercussions. Like, of course, if you have a history of substance abuse and then you act like that, of course people are going to be questioning your sobriety. And so it's not really Lisa who is, it would seem like it's Lisa who's getting in between her and her family, but it's really Kim. Kim, you have to take responsibility for your actions.
But she never will. And speaking of never taking responsibility, I love that Brandy sums all this up by going, these women just don't know how to let something go.
Oh my God. Eddie Cibrian.
That's quote of the night.
Yeah, like, go slash Eddie Cibrian's tires again, why don't you? How about, why don't you go, like, ruin your friendship with Lisa based off of Sheena? How about that? Yeah, they don't know how to let things go. How about your youth?
So then the ladies go kind of their separate ways in their separate groups. Everybody's sobbing outside. And Yoli stays with Brandy and Kim and is like, you cannot do that to somebody's family. And then Kim does her whole, that's my family speech. And Rinna's like, I will never speak to Kim Richards again.
I know. Cut to them talking the very next scene. But the thing is...
The very next morning,
But I appreciated Yoli going up to Kim and be like, you can't talk to people that way. Like,
what happened?
You can't talk that way. You can't talk. But it's like, she's right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Yoli. So it was it was probably funnier than, obviously, we're making it more reverse, serious, yeah, because it's serious shit. Like, it really is. I mean, I was hooting and hollering when it was happening. I just couldn't believe it was happening. But
this is a serious podcast, so we have to talk about it seriously.
Yeah, we have to talk very seriously about it. It was really. I mean, it was amazing. What am I, Harry? Like, don't you fuck with Harry? Over the table and grabbing at Kim's turkey neck, and then Kim's like, "Well, I was afraid. She almost got my throat ripped out and my eyes poked out with glass." Poor Kim.
Poor Kim.
Unfortunately, none of that happened, and no one's gonna give you a Vicky.
She's like, let's do that take again. We're filming Fast and Furious, right? Okay, where's the car? I gotta get another glass thrown at me. Okay, take three. Okay. Ronnie, you always have a lot of very vibrant opinions about Kyle. So, and you have a lot of conspiracy theories that Kyle
is so excited because now everybody, you know, this is an example where everybody sees. I'm not saying that Kyle's never had to go through anything, okay? I'm just saying that Kyle makes everything about her. So Kim's having a nervous breakdown, whatever the hell's going on. So, of course, immediately Kyle's like, no, you see what I have to go through. And she's outside sobbing and like, this is my life. This is what I have to deal with. And while that's not untrue, she's just not helping. She's out there. It's all about Kyle. It's not about. And I said this last week talking about my own situation. This has made me realize in my own situation, it's not about me or my pain. It's about the person with the addiction. They're not thinking about me. They're thinking about themselves. And Kyle had no problem with Kim's addiction when she was living off of it in the fucking 80s or whatever. And Kim was out there making her money, doing whatever she was doing back then. Kyle had no problem going to all those Hollywood parties with Kim and getting crazy and doing whatever. But now, cleaning up the mess years later, Kyle wants it to all be about her. And if your sister was such a drunk, awful mess that you just couldn't, you were so ashamed and she was always doing this stuff, why do you drag her on TV and make it part of your contract that she has to be on the show or you won't be, bitch?
Right.
Like, I'm not buying it, Kyle. Like, Kyle just needs her there to be a victim.
Well, maybe, here's a theory. I'm not saying I necessarily believe this, but maybe the theory is this. It looks like one of the dynamics is that, like, Kim is always saying that Kyle is not there for her. So I feel like maybe one of the reasons why Kyle is, like, has this contract where she won't do the show unless Kim is on it is that it's like evidence building. Be like, see, I do care about you. You know, it's like she's trying to constantly get that moment from Kim where Kim says, you know what? You do care about me. Like, you have been there for me. And so maybe this is the dynamic of their relationship is that Kyle isn't trying to get... It's not so much that she's trying to, like, profiteer off of Kim's illness, although she probably is. But maybe it's this thing that, like, she's perpetually seeking that moment when Kim finally acknowledges the stuff that she does for her, and she thinks that by saying I won't do the show without Kim, she's making a sacrifice in some way, and Kim will acknowledge, oh, thanks for getting me on this show, like you did something for me, like maybe that's the mindset behind it.
Yeah.
Do you know? Well, does that make sense?
Yeah, I think she's doing it because Kim's a fucking mess and she needs a job and can't get one, and Kyle's getting her a job. I think she's sick of giving Kim money. And she's sick of having to take care of Kim. I think part of it is, like, let's give Kim an opportunity to have another chance at life, which is good. But I think part of it's, like, I'm sick of taking care of Kim. And I'm, you know, I mean, it's a lot of fucked up stuff that goes into a family where there's that kind of drama and addiction. Because that family didn't only have to deal with addiction. I mean, their mother was apparently a horror show. They were, like, having to work as children. They didn't have a normal life. But, I do think that Kyle's just a drama queen that makes everything about herself. It's hard for me to see anything otherwise. That's all I see.
I think it could be both, to be honest. I think it could be, it is all about herself, and it is also about trying to resolve this, like, this relationship that's been there since the beginning, where Kim has been the older sister earning money, and it's probably been held against Kyle that she doesn't contribute the way her sister does, and Kyle trying to probably perpetually prove that she contributes and that she helps out Kim, and that, like, as much as Kim helped her out as a child, now Kyle does whatever, and it's probably nothing is ever good enough, and so she probably is self-involved and also totally fucked up in the head by this whole relationship.
Yeah,
it's probably everything.
You know, Kim keeps talking about how Kim is only, or Kim keeps talking about how Kyle's only supportive sometimes, and blah blah blah. Well, listen. As anybody, which I'm sure all of us have one in our family, know, you can't just be supportive of an addict. That's not how it works. You can't just sit there and comb their hair and feed them and treat them like babies and give them everything they want in life. An addict has to take care of themselves and get their own shit together. It's no one else's. You know, how many times has Kim ever called Kyle and said, how are things going, Kyle? How are you? How are your feelings? How are your children? What's going on in your life? You know she doesn't. You know every time you talk to Kim, it's whatever she's feeling and her horrible problems and her husband who's dying and her kids who are gone. It's all so hard. She's one of those people who thinks of nobody but herself and her own fucking problems. You know, I wouldn't answer her fucking calls either. And I don't answer the calls of most of the addicts in my family either because it's a bunch of bullshit and they want something from me. They're calling for money. Or they want something, you know, and it's not—it's usually nothing good, especially if they're using at the time. Mm-hmm. So whatever. At this point, I have really no sympathy for Kim. She needs to get her own shit together.
Yeah.
At the same time, she's made me laugh more than any other housewife probably ever.
But
so
she's had a real.
I don't want her to just die, but get it together.
But you know, one of our listeners, Michael Cook, who's an avid contributor to our Facebook page, he actually wrote a really interesting comment on our page. He says, Kim Richards wanted to make up some nonsense about Lisa Rinna's home life. Rinna should have brought up either Kim's dog almost eating her niece or Kim's son sprinting naked through the streets of Calabasas in the midst of a mental breakdown. Either would have worked and probably shut Kim down fairly quickly.
Well, I think that that's a good point. And I think that what Kim was talking about was probably what Kyle already brought up last week in the limo when she said, how long has Harry been sober? Mm-hmm. I like that Kyle just brought it right up like that because it made Lisa talk about it in a sensible way without really throwing her husband under the bus.
Right.
Like, she made it sound very, it was in a way that he couldn't be shocked. Like someone like Kim can't just bring it up and make it this big shocking revelation because they've already talked about it. Well, Kim doesn't know that. So I'm sure it has something to do with that. Because, I mean, looking at Harry, he doesn't look like the type with a penis that's still working well enough to go bang a 20-year-old. So it's probably something along the lines of your husband's an addict and blah, blah, blah.
Or maybe Kim is just, like, very confused by Mad Men. She's like, well, you know what I hear about your husband? He's working against Don Draper. He's going to destroy that agency. So I got some dirt on your husband. I know that.
He acted so innocent, then he tried to get Don killed.
He acts so innocent, he tried to get... He tried to go, well, that's Peggy off the account. That's not right.
Your husband likes sweater vests. I'm telling everybody.
Well, here's what I know about your husband. He's fat. He has a time machine. He came from the 60s. So he's hiding something. The government's after him. So I think you should keep it quiet.
I'll tell you one thing about your husband. He has a couch in his office with no cushions in it.
I love Kim getting all her dirt about Harry Hamlin from Mad Men. And here's what I know. Times are a-changing, okay? And your husband has to go with it, okay?
Hey, listen, tell your husband it's not the 60s anymore. It's the 70s, man!
Hey, here's what I know, okay? It's a thing called the Rolling Stones, okay? It's called, like, peace, love, and rock and roll. And your husband doesn't know about it, so he has to get with it, okay? Hey, if you're going to San Francisco, wear some flowers in your hair.
Here's what I know about Harry Hamlin. He's living in the time when I was the biggest superstar ever. Yeah. And he offered to do me on his cushionless couch. Okay?
Hey, when I tried to leave Rich Mountain, he was like, you stay, and I'll never forgive him.
Gina posted this picture of Kim as a wreck on our Facebook page. Every week we put, what do you guys want to talk about today on the podcast? And it's a big, fun thread. And this week, Gina posted this picture of Kim just looking just completely gone. And it says, 3 years sober, cough, cough. And that's just it, Ms. Richards. Sit down, you're drunk. Get it together.
Believe it or not, this wasn't the only thing that happened this episode, though. That's the best part. This was the first 12 minutes. So, yep. There was, you know, and there was some, like, stuff where they went bike riding. Like, so basically, Lisa Rinna and Kim Richards kind of buried the hatchet a little bit, just enough to be civil on the trip. And then, but Kim Richards did not apologize to Eileen or to Kyle. They went on a bike ride. They visited Yolanda's mom. They went to, so then they went up going to one of these, like, pot cafes, hashish cafes, you know? And sorry, you were to say something?
No. I'm listening.
So it was sort of funny because they were all suggesting that they were all going to smoke weed and then no one did anything. They all kind of like shared like a little piece of like weed cake. So it seemed like it was going to be just like a stupid nothing scene, you know, of them all just eating stuff. Leave it to Brandy to cause drama, right? Because what happens is that, like, Kyle's, like, being like, no, I'm not gonna have it, I'm a parent, whatever. So Brandy's like...
Kyle was ridiculous, though.
She was. Like, oh,
wow, how do they do this? What's this called? The joint, a doob? What did they do? They put it in here and then they roll it in the paper? Oh, that's crazy. I've never seen something like that. Oh, drug addicts.
I know.
Shut up, Kyle.
It's, I know, like, it was so really obvious. Annoying. And by the way, let's hand it to Lisa Vanderpump for being the only one willing to sort of be like, okay. Like,
Vanderpump was amazing in this entire episode, actually. In that whole scene, we ignored everything she said, but she was amazing. She's like, Kim, darling, that's enough. Just stop it, darling. Enough.
Darling, have some tuna tartare. Chef Penny imported it right from the side of it.
Oh, we also missed another great Lisa Vanderpump moment. At the very beginning, when they first get to Holland, everyone's like, are we going to go to the red light district? And Yolanda's like, look, I don't have a problem with prostitutes who are just trying to feed their children. And Lisa goes, darling, you shouldn't have a dick in your mouth to put food in your children's.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. The queen. That's queen. Why she's the queen.
But I love that. You know, she was, I mean, she probably would have smoked a joint if everyone else did. She probably just didn't want to be the only one not doing it because everyone was, like, concerned about, like, you know, the image it would be. So, I mean...
They're doing drugs on TV. I mean, hello. Who thought that was a good idea?
I mean, it was legal, but, I mean, either way, So Brandy says to Kyle, like, whatever, don't act like you don't do this. The last time I smoked weed, you were there, which I believe. I actually believe that. I'm obviously,
yeah, Kyle didn't deny it. She was like, ah, Brandy.
So
I have children. That's why I didn't want to mention it.
Yeah, exactly. So then it becomes this whole thing. So then Brandy gets into this whole thing where she's like, I hate when people are being fake. You know, I get accused of doing all these things, da 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 da, and then they act like they don't smoke weed, blah 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 blah. Like,
and I have children too, and you guys are calling me a drunk slut on TV, and it's and I have children too, and that's hurting my children, and na 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 na. It's like, well, but you are a drunk slut on TV. You fuck some guy in a bathroom. You get drunk on TV. You lie about everybody on TV. Everything you're doing on TV is what they're commenting on. And on that, that's what's making me nuts about Brandy. I'm actually siding with Kyle so much that it's making me really pissed off at Brandy. Because Kyle's right. You know, the stuff they talk about her doing is true stuff. The stuff that they're talking about, she's accusing Kyle of doing drugs or whatever. That's like some party where they're friends and it's off camera. And it's, why are you doing that?
Yeah, and it's also like for someone like Brandy, who her whole thing is that, like, you know, when you accuse me like of this, you know, like, it imperils my position with my kids. You know, it's like, I'm a parent. You are getting in between. Like, do not fucking get in between with my kids, whatever. So what does she do? She does the exact same thing to Kyle. And I think what's annoying is that, like, she should know better, because as the recipient of these situations where she doesn't like people calling her a drunk because, you know, she could get her kids could be taken away from her, she should know that, like, it's not, like, why
Brandy's
do it
a hateful
Kyle?
Slag.
But
nothing
she's,
she does
she is.
Comes
she's
from
vengeful.
A place of sense. Yeah. She's a hateful human being. She does nothing but, bully everybody else, victimize everybody else, and then act like she's the victim once they say something back to her. And she's done with this show.
Yeah.
I mean, that bitch is gone. She's trying to start this huge fight. She's screaming like a petulant child, and everyone else just ignores her and walks away from her. And then she's stuck walking behind the whole group pouting.
Right.
You know, fuck off. You're out. You're off this fucking show.
Yeah,
bitch. I don't even know why I'm bothering talking about you on it.
Yeah, why is she so gone? Why is she so frustrated that Kyle doesn't want to talk about smoking weed on camera? Like it's annoying that Kyle
She's just trying to start a fight because she's had nothing to do the whole trip.
Yeah.
Because she made Kim do all her dirty work. Now Kim's not there and Yolanda's not kissing her ass and she has nothing to do. And she knows that if you don't do anything on a Housewives show, you're out. So she's trying to start some fight with Kyle, and Kyle knows that if she gives Brandy a fight, that she's going to be keeping Brandy on the show. So Kyle's not going to give her a fight. I mean, these women are just done with Brandy. They're not even going to fight with her anymore. You know, they're just going to let her self-destruct and watch her fall back into oblivion.
Yeah,
good
I mean,
for them. Bye, bitch.
Is it annoying that Kyle is acting like totally Miss Innocent, like she has no idea what pot is? Yeah, hell yes, that's so annoying. But, like, why make a thing of it? Just, like, move on, Brandy.
Yeah, just let it go. I mean, if you're going to fight with somebody, fight with them over something real. But Brandy refuses to interact with them in any kind of realistic way, you know?
Yeah.
So she doesn't have any relationships with any of them, so she can't do anything with them except antagonize them, and it's just old and it's tired. I'm tired. Yeah. I'm tired talking about it. Bye, Brandy. Bye. Bye, bitch. Yeah.
Well, next week she slaps Lisa Vanderpump, so that'll be interesting.
I think it's just like a play slap. I don't think it's real.
I guess we'll see.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
So what else? So that's pretty much how this ended, right?
Yeah, I think we hit all the major parts of the episode.
Okay, let's move on, and well done again, Lisa Rinna. Very
yes,
well done.
Well done.
Welcome
well done.
To a lifetime career on The Real Housewives. As long as this shit's on, they will never fire you.
Exactly. Well done. Let's move on. Okay, so which show should we talk about next? Do you want to talk about Vanderpump Rules or Shaws of Sunset or Atlanta?
I don't care. First, we have to say happy birthday, Paula Jones.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Paula Jones.
It's your
You're
birthday.
Alive, and we're glad. I don't care. Let's talk about Shaws, because that'll be short for me.
Okay.
Still hate that show. Still hate all the people on it. Hope they all die. They're disgusting human beings. Hate that they open buying gold and bragging about how much money they have. Gold, 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 gold. Gold, gold, gold. We're so rich. We're so rich. Ah, Persian. We're so rich in Persian. We're so rich in Persian. Fuck off. Get to Sir. Get your fucking party bus to Sir and go have fun, you assholes.
Ugh. What about
gross? All of you, gross.
Oh, you know what? Like, the best for me was Reza talking about how he's gonna decorate Gigi's apartment, and then we go to Reza's apartment, and it's just like the most hideous thing since Martin Lawrence Ballard graced Bravo.
It looked like a Lebanese estate sale.
It was,
and
like,
I've been to many.
It was like a Chevron disaster. Everything was Chevron. It was like, it was basically like a whole bunch of road detour signs in different directions on the wall, on the carpet. It was like everything Chevron and everything crazy colors. And then the kitchen was it was like so disastrous. And I was like, it looked small, so everything felt cramped. Oh,
if he's so rich, why does he live in such a dump? I mean, that is a small, gross apartment. We saw it last year when they moved in there. It's gross and small.
No, it's a new place, I think.
Oh, it's new. It's not the same place from last year remodeled?
I think he said he got a new place. That's so Persian. I like that's to put Chevron everywhere.
You get a new place every week.
Yeah, I get a new couch that's like purple, and I have like Chevron on it, and then polka dots, and then stripes, like lots of patterns.
I'm gonna put a purple. Okay, I want the walls covered in purple and gold, and then I want a table covered with money, and then I want a carpet that's made out of dollars, and then I want a cat hair couch.
Oh. Yes. That's so Persian. Homegirl's gonna be like, this is like the most Persian apartment I've ever been in.
But then, and it was so Persian.
It was awful. And then on top of that, oh, you know what really bothered me was when he was like making Cristal mimosas. I was like, you idiot. The whole, like, why even drink Cristal if you're gonna like cover it up with orange juice? Like, the whole point is like you can
use. So he can keep saying Cristal,
Cristal mimosa, Cristal.
And also so he can save money because he's not using as much Cristal.
Yeah, it's just
with his I'm so rich I'm going to buy a $35,000 Rolex but live in a $500 a month apartment in East Hollywood. Yeah. Bitch, please.
I know. It was just, it's so awful. I mean, the whole thing with the mimosa is that you can put Andre in there and then just cover it up with orange juice and you're fine.
Yeah, he's gross.
Yeah.
Still gross.
Very gross. And I think
MJ looking good, I think, has a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Big hairy Jewish guy.
Yeah.
That should be interesting. MJ in love is
MJ
interesting.
MJ in love, yeah.
Like watching the thing that came to mind while I was watching their romantic scene was that Gary Shandling bit where he's talking about, yeah, I mean, this is years ago, but on the Gary Shandling show, he's like, hey, I was in the mall recently, and you know, I haven't been to a mall in forever, but I have to say, ugly people in the mall, please stop kissing. No one wants to see ugly people kissing in the mall. Can I just go to the BB whatever without seeing ugly people kissing in the mall? Thanks. That's what made me think of that. I was like, nobody needs to see your ugly asses kissing in that park. Let people enjoy their picnics.
Yes. Hell yes. I agree. That was definitely, you know, on the one hand, I want to say good for them. They're happy. They're in love. On the other hand, I want to be like, let's cover that up.
Yeah, exactly. Stay in love in your house.
Yeah. So let's see. I did appreciate Asa's mother quoting Boys to Men or Boys to the Men when she's like, you know, it's so hard to say goodbye to the other days, whoever it was. You know, Boys to the Men, they say that.
Yeah, her parents are moving in with her. What else? It was, I mean, they added this new girl.
Yeah, this is basically the main part is that there's this new girl, Asifa, I think.
It was a half breed. She's like a halfie.
Yeah, half Persian. Half Indian.
We call ourselves in my family. We call ourselves half breeds, but yeah. I guess I realized at the last second how rude that might sound on a podcast. Sorry.
Sorry.
But I'm a half breed, so I just assumed that it's okay to call her that, but probably not. Yeah. So she's a halfie.
She's obnoxious. First of all,
she's part Persian, part what's her other part?
Indian.
Indian and part asshole.
Yeah.
She's a total asshole.
She is a total, like,
she's asshole. One of those LA girls. He's like,
oh, we have to jump over the fire. I don't jump, you guys. I don't jump.
Yeah, see, the thing is that, like, Lily would have said the same thing. She'd been like, oh my god, I'm like, I can't jump over a fire. But, like, for some reason, she would have, like, laughed it off and made, like, a funny comment in the interview. And you'd be like, ha ha ha, don't jump over that fire, Lily. But with this girl, she's just kind of, like, obnoxious.
She's obnoxious and she's trying way too hard out the gate.
Yeah, because they were making comment about some of the snacks that they were eating. And then I don't know, someone says they were talking about Mike's dick, and then someone pointed to something and then she's like, what, do you have like a micro penis or something like that? Which is pretty like not cool. Like not cool joke, bro. Like, if someone said to her, like, oh, do you not have, like, a chest or is, like, your clit, like, gigantic or something like that, she would have been pissed off, right? But
I mean, I guess. Mike was just drunk. Mike
but the thing
an
is, Mike
anyway,
is an asshole.
Mike's been ignoring them all for a couple months anyway, so he's obviously got some ish that he hasn't brought up. about them.
Well, Mike is an asshole because when he's sober, he's like really sanctimonious and he talks down to everyone and he takes this holier than thou attitude and says all this stuff about we should be a family. And then when he gets drunk, he's belligerent and is a total asshole to everyone involved.
And I like that his girlfriend's so ghetto.
Oh my God, Jessica!
Like she's really going there this year. Like she got that ring, and now she doesn't care. She's like,
yeah,
yelling and screaming. She's like, "Get this fucking mic off me! Get it off! I need it."
Well, what happens? They all get into a party bus and they go to the Redbury Hotel where they order sliders, which cracked me up. they're like, "We'll have an order of sliders, please." And then Mike is drunk, and Asifa's, like, Persian Keanu Reeves boyfriend shows up, and he still has, like, the vents.
Botox veins.
Yeah, real Botox. So his the vents of his blazer are still sewn together, and so Mike and Reza are like, look at that. Like, look, do you see that? And then Reza goes and, like, cuts it off, which is, I don't know, the whole thing was just very, like, passive-aggressive and, like, childish, you know? And then basically Mike and this guy get into a fight over the vents on his blazer. It was the stupidest fight of all time.
Yeah, because he had an X on the back of his blazer. I don't even get what that means.
When you buy a blazer, the vents, there's like a little vent at the bottom, like these little flaps, and they're sewn together. And you're supposed to cut the thread and so that the vents open up. And so the guy hadn't cut it. And so it was like,
Mike's like, he thinks that's fashion, bro.
Yeah. And then they literally get into a fight over it. They start to like...
And he's like, I see you laughing at me over there. You know, coming into a new group, you think I want people laughing at me? And he's like, bro, you think that's fashion? He's like, you think I think that's fashion? How stupid you think I am? He's like, bro, you're stupid.
Yeah.
The dumbest bike. And then they start trying to hit each other.
Yeah.
And then Mike grabs his jacket and he's like, I'm taking this jacket home for a party favor or whatever.
Yeah, it was like... Stupid. It was so stupid, but there was.
That's why I hate this show. It's pointless. They're yelling at each other over nothing. Nothing fucking happens on this show. Reza's still a rich fat guy who cares about money. MJ is still a chick who only cares about having a man. Asa only cares about her victimhood as a refugee. Gigi's still some crazy slut who does nothing with her life. Like, why should I give a fuck? I don't give a fuck about these people. They make me crazy in the actual Hollywood, and they make me crazy on TV. I can't with them. We're going to have to get Matt Whitfield back on this show to guest to at least talk to you about this.
I still love this show, but they are idiots because they are acting kind of like the kids from Sir, except they are older and richer, and they shouldn't be acting like that at all. I do like the Shervin character, though. He's cute.
Which one?
He's the one who looks like Mike, but has like a high voice and isn't belligerent.
Oh, yeah. So is he going to be on the cast now?
I think he'll probably be a friend of the Shahs.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know. That show just makes me nuts. Okay, let's move on. Yay! I'll try and maybe have a more positive attitude next week, but I actually came into it with a positive attitude this week, and my face was just crinkled up the whole time. I was like, I cannot with this show. But thankfully, there's enough shows on Bravo that we might be able to skip this one. Until we're doing two episodes a day.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah, which could be soon. So let's go to Vanderpump Rules.
Yes.
The season finale. So it started off. It was the annual. It was the annual photo shoot, darling. And they we're gonna do something vintage, something retro.
Listen, this time for this photo shoot, I want to do something sexy and hip, darling.
Yeah. All right.
Sexy, hip, new. All right. 50s.
Yes, 50s. Listen, we're gonna call this SUP, as in sexy, unique photo shoot. SUP.
All right, I want everything pink. All right, I want a pink car. I want a pink house. I want pink everything. The future is now, and it's the 50s. All right, Stassi's gained a little weight, so she shows up for this photo shoot. I don't want her to feel out of place. You know, women were bigger back then. We had bigger bones. We ate things. No one knew about white bread in the 50s, darling. All right, get Stassi a milkshake, and let's get this on the road.
Chef Penny, get your craft service table over here. Put down some tuna tartare and a California pizza with some... barbecue chicken on it. You know, something for Stassi to eat. It's like some goat cheese balls.
Awkward photo shoot. I love that Tom is so dramatic. He's like, yeah, just one time I want to do a photo shoot, Kristen, where it's not all about you know, being mad at Jax, Kristat.
Yeah.
And then they're like flashbacks to the year before, and he's all mad at the photo shoot. And it's like, yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
His shoot modeling career was
in a row. Tom's upset.
His modeling career has been derailed. But, well, what I like, first of all, is that when they're all getting into hair and makeup, Sheena's like talking about how she got her marriage certificate. And they're talking about like weddings, and Jax is like, well, you know, sometimes that piece of paper ruins everything. And Sheena's like, really? Because I got that piece of paper in the mail. It was the coolest thing ever. Shut up, Sheena. Just shut up. Like, you're married. We get it. Like,
she's so funny.
She's like, I'm married now. I got it. It's so cool. I got a paper. I got a certificate.
Man, they showed a clip of that wedding, and Sheena from behind, good Lord, with her fucking back fat flaps coming out of that crop top. Was that supposed to be part of it? Girl, put that away. Crop top.
It's ruining everything. This wedding is fucked. and then they cut to Tom Sandoval, like, getting his, like, hair and makeup done, and he's like, you see how this is the farthest point out of my head? I don't want to accentuate that, Kristen.
Kristen! It's Kristen's fault, Kristen.
Don't accentuate the farthest parts out of my head. Don't.
Sheena, as Sheena does, opens by going to her bestie, Ariana, saying,
listen, here's what I heard for sure. Jax, this is the official statement from Jax. Tom for sure had sex with that girl. For sure.
She's like, Ariana's going to cry. And she's like, I don't believe it because, you know, I was talking to him the whole time. How could he have been having sex?
Like, you didn't talk to him the whole time.
Yeah, but we were texting.
Well, was it FaceTime?
No, because FaceTime didn't work in the room, which does sound fishy.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, that's fishy. Like, do you really believe it? I'm not breaking it up. She's like, yeah, I really believe it.
I'll never bring it up again.
Like, thank you. That whole scene was like, thank you, shut up.
I know. It was,
who cares? This is nothing new. Jax has been saying this week after week. Why is it now something new that Jax has said this?
I know. So then they all get dressed up. Meanwhile, Jax, I mean, there's been a lot of nesting going on by everyone. You know, Stassi isn't the only one who's gained weight. Like, Jax is looking mad puffy, if I may say mad puffy, at this point.
He's injecting. He's also, every time Jax walked into the scene, he was wiping shit off of his nose. Yeah. I mean, come on, keep it subtle, Jax. We know you're doing crystal or something, but kind of, let's try and keep it a little subtle there, buddy. Yeah, he's
I don't know anything.
He's definitely not doing coke.
What are you talking about, like, jerking, shaking, twitching? Come on, Jax.
I don't think he's doing coke, because he should be a lot skinnier if you're doing that much coke. So then they all do this photo shoot, and I love that James is like, people may think I'm just a busboy with mad DJ skills, but no, I do a lot more than that. I'm like, well, I don't think anyone thinks that you're a busboy with mad DJ skills. I think everyone just thinks you're a busboy. I think that's, I think that's just where it ends there. I think that's where the assumption ends right there.
P.S. I'm out of bread.
Yeah. And then I loved how at the end, they're like, Lisa, get in the photo. She's like, okay, I'll do one photo. I'm like, Lisa, you're in full hair and makeup and you're dressed in the 50s theme. Don't act like you did not have the plan to get in the photo shoot all along. I love you, Lisa, but don't act like that.
That was funny.
Yeah.
So then they finally confront Jax, and he's like, I didn't say that. What? I didn't do anything. I never said anything. That's a lie.
Yeah. He's like, I never said anything. I love when he does that. Every season, he lies full on camera, and then the next day he's like, huh, I never said that. What? No, I never said that at all. Huh? What?
Yeah. Yeah. And it, I guess we'll get to the end part later, but
yeah. So then,
so what else happened? So then the big to Sir for the after party.
It was
more excited with Chuck E. Cheese than Sir. Can they go somewhere else?
No, it was the Sir 10th anniversary party, which is why they went.
Oh, right.
So I love, so Stassi shows up. She's like, fine, I'll go. Even though I'm so over it, I'm going to go. And then I love,
I'll go for some goat cheese balls.
Yeah. So she goes, so she shows up. She gets like a drink. She like stares at Katie from across the room. And then she like does like a shot with Kristen and like others. And then so she and Katie like don't talk. And then so of course Christina comes up and she's like, they're of course shooting these nasty looks at Katie's face. And Kristen's like, if she had any sort of respect for your friendship, she would have stood up, walked over and said, how are you? I'm like, shut up. You're such a snotty bitch. That girl
is so awful. And she really doesn't think very far ahead. I mean, she's really on the wrong team here. What do you think is going to happen next year with you, dumbass? No one's going to talk to you.
Yeah. It was so, like, why does Katie have to come over and say hi to Stassi? How about Stassi goes hi and says hi to Katie? Which is actually what ultimately happened.
Well, like, yeah, because she had to do something. She can't be on camera because nobody's talking to her or making an effort towards her. They're like, bye, bitch. That whole scene where they were like, bye, Stassi. Bye, Stassi's birthday. Bye, Stassi's, you know, controlling ass. Bye, yeah. Stassi. That was the best montage ever of every single cast member being like, bye, bitch.
I think it's pretty obvious that Stassi is not coming back next year. I mean, it's like the fact that they're even billing her appearance on the reunion as a special guest appearance. It's like, well, she's a cast member. It shouldn't be a surprise that she's showing up. So she's clearly gone.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Bye. You were awful this season and no one liked you.
Yeah. She's awful. She's awful every season, but we liked her before because at least she was fun. This time she's just, she's just takes herself. She thinks she's so famous. I like when they were like, bye, Stassi, and your stupid statement necklaces.
Yeah, I know. Kristanna. But, I mean, and I like that when she pulled over Katie and was like, can we talk? And then Katie's like, still was like, no, you are like, it's not all about you, Stassi. Like, get out of here. It was good. Yep. Stassi was just very pathetic this season, and she's gonna like probably tweet a bunch of things, being like, "Whatever, I don't care. I'm off the show. I'm so much happier now." But she's sad. She's sad.
She's dumped by her boyfriend in like 5 minutes. How is he still with her? How is anybody with her? And how does anybody with a real job and a real career handle this reality TV bullshit?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but I think that's the last we're gonna see of Stassi until the reunions, and then she's gone, no more.
Yep.
Bye. So then, sorry, I just burped. So then, let's see what happened. So then, there was a confrontation outside, where Jax and the Toms like sat outside in like the drinking area, and they were like, "We don't understand why you just keep on talking about us and trying to sabotage our relationships." But at this point, I have to say, both Toms. It's like that fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Like, they don't seem to understand the shame on me part because they keep welcoming Jax into their life as friends.
Well, my theory is that these guys go out of town together and they all fuck people the whole weekend.
Yeah.
And the rule is they're just not supposed to tell on each other. But Jax gets caught. You know, I mean, Jax basically said as much during one episode. He's like, you guys do the same shit I do, but I'm the one who looks like an idiot on TV, and you guys look like saints, and I'm sick of it. It's time for you guys to get caught for what you did. You know, I mean, he's basically said that in an episode, and I believe that. I think they go out of town. They all do it together.
Yeah.
But then they don't want to admit to it when it comes time to it, because why should you? They're not caught. They shouldn't have to admit to it. But, you know, Jax is sick of being the only one that looks like a loser, but he's still the only one who looks like a loser because no one else called him out. His friends didn't do any of that stuff to him.
Right. Which they should have. Well, I liked also how, like, when they're, like, they're talking to Jax, all of a sudden Kristen comes wafting out, and she's like, seriously? Hi, boys. Seriously?
She's like, hi, seriously, hi.
Seriously, I just talked to Lisa Vanderpump and sighed. Like, seriously, I had to quit in order to move on with my life. And how are you, Lisa Vanderpump?
When she sees Lisa, she's like, hi, Lisa. And Lisa's like, hello, darling, what have you learned? And she's like, well, I learned to not be mean and to not tell lies and to not try and ruin lives and to not try and ruin people's relationships and to not try and steal things from the restaurant. And not give blowjobs to customers. That's like, geez, okay, this isn't confession. Calm down.
Seriously, it was like a bad relationship, and I had to leave it in order to grow. Seriously, and how are you, Lisa Vanderpump? Good day to you, Lisa Vanderpump. I just still like
good day, sir.
I still like Kristen being like in her best behavior.
Top of the morning to ya.
And how is the family? Seriously, seriously.
How's Pandora?
Seriously, seriously.
How's your gay son-in-law? Seriously. Yeah, so she goes out to the break area, and she's like, hi, boys!
Miss me? Seriously, seriously.
And Kristen's like, Tom's like, hey, Kristen, it's a good thing you're out here so we can ask you a question. Did Jax ever say that I seriously cheated with that chick? She's like, 100 million times, yes.
Yes. Absolutely. On my horse grave. Seriously. Seriously.
Don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Like, yeah,
you can lead
yes. And Jax is like, no, I didn't. No, I'm not listening to this. It's bullshit. No, I didn't. No, I never said it. No, I didn't. No, it's like, they have TVs, you idiot. It's on TV. Do you understand? It's on TV.
Seriously?
And they're like, yeah, Jax, well, whatever, dude. Like, we can't, like, hang out with you, man, because, like, you're not a friend, so whatever.
She's like, don't lie. Can't switch horse faces midstream. Seriously? Seriously?
Two horses in your hand is worth more than one in a stable.
You can lead a horse face to a whore in Miami, but you can't teach the horse face how to drink from the whore. Seriously? Seriously? Not good with metaphors, Jax. Seriously.
Tom finally was like, Kristen, I don't even care. Just get out of my life. Leave me alone. I want nothing to do with you. And then she's like, fine, you win, Ariana.
So then she walks up to Ariana and she says, I have said everything I could possibly say. Good luck to you. Seriously. Seriously.
There. And then that was pretty much it. I guess she dropped it, but you know she didn't drop it.
She didn't drop it. Actually, really nothing happened in the season finale, to be honest.
No, but it was still pretty funny. I laughed a lot at it. The best part was at the end, they're all saying that mean stuff to Stassi, like, bye, bitch.
Yeah.
And then Jax goes outside. No one invites him to the after party because they're all going to some party after.
Yeah.
No one invites Jax. And he goes back to get his truck, and it's been towed.
Yeah.
He's like, my truck's been towed. And then they show his stupid tiny penis truck being towed away.
Yeah.
That's it. It's like the saddest thing.
One thing we didn't talk about was that there was this big buildup. Like Stassi's like, the one thing I don't want to do at this party is I don't want to be in the same room as Jax. That's the one thing I don't want. And then there was like a buildup of like, okay, Stassi's talking to Katie and Jax has arrived and what's going to happen? And then Stassi kind of is like, oh my God, Jax is here. I have to go. This is a mistake. And she leaves, which was sort of cool. But like, there was no buildup of like, when are Jax and Stassi going to reunite? Like, the tension between them wasn't really there this season. Like, season one, it was like, the two of them were together. Season two, they had broken up, but there was this on and off thing. But this season, it was like, I kind of forgot that they were ever together in the first place. So, I didn't really care if, like, who cares if they're in the same room, you know? It felt like a strange...
Yeah, he would have just been like, hey, Stassi, and she'd have been like, hi.
Yeah, it just seemed like a strange...
He's not going to be chasing her out.
Yeah, it felt like a very unnatural kind of, like, stake that was put
on. Oh, another thing we didn't talk about was poor Katie... She wants to be proposed to on the season finale.
Yeah.
And she's basically told him, I want a serious commitment out of you. I want a serious commitment out of you. And then they show him with his Bravo shrink, like, the thought of being married to somebody makes me want to kill myself. Okay. And he's like, but I don't want to tell her that. Why wouldn't the shrink say you need, well, maybe she did say she needs, I mean, the girl deserves to know. So eventually he did. What did he ask for? 6 months or something?
Oh yeah, 6 months. And she's like, "If you don't propose to me after 6 months, then
move on. Just move on.
Just move on now.
If he needs 6 months to propose to you after this long, move on. She has a right to know. You can't just tell your shrink that there's no way you're ever getting married, but never telling this girl, and then just getting her a dog or whatever to lead her on. I mean, that's awful. But frankly, she deserves what she gets. She knows he's like that."
Yeah, absolutely. And how about Tom, who's saying to Ariana, he's like, you know, I never met a girl like you, and I've been thinking about this, and Ariana, I want to ask you, will you move in with me? It's like, oh, okay. And she's like, yes, of course. I'm like, I thought they already were moved in. But like, why was that like a climactic question in this episode? It's like, thanks, Kristen.
Thanks, Kristen. It's like a divorceless marriage, Kristen.
This marriage.
Yeah, so that was done, but I think the season finale will be amazing. I mean, the reunion,
yeah.
You know that shit's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, it'll be fantastic, actually.
And I can't wait.
I can't wait. Let's have Yolanda moderate it. You can't talk that way to people,
You
Jax.
Can't talk that way to people. Okay, string on ring. Ring on string, string ring. That is no good. You can't do that to people. We invented string in Holland. was used to tie meat together.
In Holland, we give rings in clogs, and then we put a tulip in there also, and you give it to people. You send it down a river, and then people pick it up and say, will you marry me? And then you do.
In Holland, we spin a piece of chocolate-covered cracker. And whoever it lands on, you have to marry. Oh, by the way, I love when Yolanda saw the guy she used to date.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, I don't remember you. Did we kiss? And he's like, oh, yes. And she's like, oh, no, don't remember poor people. Sorry.
She's like, how do you own just this windmill or do you own this entire acre? No, that's not. Do you sell T-shirts also on my property? No. Okay. No, I don't know you. I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord. Okay, so Vanderpoop drools. That's yeah, all let's of that. Go on so, what else do we have over
Atlanta.
Here?
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta.
Yeah.
Lophedra.
Yeah. So, why don't we talk about. Can we talk about Candy and Todd first?
Yes.
See?
Candy is the nicest person stuck in the worst relationships I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so our lovely friend Angie, who was she on last week or 2 weeks ago? Angie, you know, Angie Thomas.
Yeah.
She texted me and she goes, all she says is this, the bonnet excuse to get out of sex. Like, it is ridiculous. It is ridiculous that Todd would be like, oh, sorry, Candy, I can't have sex with you because you got a bonnet on. Just ask her to take it off.
Yeah, it's like, how sexy do you think that is, babe?
She has to put up with your...
Well, the bonnet wasn't a problem until now.
Yeah, she's like, see? Now, Riley wears a bonnet also, and I don't see her complaining about it, sir. But, whatever. Candy has to put up with your stupid waves, you know? And I don't mean that waves are stupid. I mean that his waves look stupid. His waves are like borderline Nini Flapper waves.
Oh my gosh. Todd's awful. Do you think he's cheating? That's the rumor that he's off fucking everybody in LA.
I don't think he's cheating, but I think he is now being complacent, and he shouldn't be because he got Candy Burris.
Yep, and she's got a prenup, and I don't know how much he's making from Hollywood Divas or whatever, but I doubt it's as much money as she's got in the bank. So he needs to back down a little bit.
He'd need to back down a lot.
Yeah, he's not cool. He's trying to, like, suddenly be the man in the relationship when that was never the case. Sorry. Right. Candy's always been the man in the relationship. Just deal with it. Get over it.
Right. So, let's see. I don't think Claudia did much this episode, right? Claudia did nothing, actually. She just showed up at that dinner party at the end, which we'll get to. Let's see. Cynthia did something towards the end. Nini does nothing, right? All she does is brag about that she's in Cinderella.
I'm in Broadway, girl. I'm studying my lines.
And five lines that the wicked stepmother had. She's like, you better pick that rice up out the ashes, bitch, or you ain't going nowhere. Okay, there you're done.
Yeah.
The end.
Like, I was like, don't forget, Nini, you're not actually Cinderella. So, let's see. So Apollo's in jail. Phaedra brought in an apostle to cleanse the house.
Fix it, Jesus.
She's like, okay, look, just please say fix it, Jesus, a few times in here.
Yeah. They're like, can you please cleanse the garage?
Could you please cleanse this drill?
Yeah.
All I've wanted to do was fix that doorknob, and I cannot do it with this dirty drill.
Can you please cleanse this kitchen island? Thank you. There are demons in this island. And I
like
that
she's like, I do not appreciate Apollo telling the children about him going to prison. I don't know how to deal with that. These children are innocent. And then the next second, she's like, we are cleaning every trace of your father out of this house. I know.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like, talk about trauma. Like, comparing your father to, like, a demon that must be exorcised. These poor kids. And their kids are so cute. Oh, my God. Her older
son is so cute.
So smart and so bright. Oh. So anyway, why can't I remember really any of the scenes that happened on this episode?
Let me see. I'm looking at the recap, which is hilarious.
Because I remember where it winds up. Ultimately, it winds up where Candy decides to invite everyone to Fogo de Chao. right?
Well, first off, Candy comes over to see Phaedra.
Yeah.
And it's made clear that Candy has not paid any kind of attention to Phaedra during this whole Apollo drama.
This is the new thing. They're trying to drive a wedge between these two, which I feel like is so craven. These are like two friends, and like between the producers and the other women, they are more than happy to decide to tear these two apart.
But that is pretty cold when your husband's going to jail and all this shit's going down and you're reading about it in TMZ every day and Candy never even calls her. And she's like, well, I've been busy too. What? Doing what? Like supporting your midget husband and fucking wondering why your play closed? You don't sound busy to me, bitch. You better get over there and be nice to your friend. You can at least text her.
Yeah. I mean, that's true.
That's not cool.
It's not cool. It's not cool.
They're just show friends, you know? They're just like teamed up on the show, I think.
Well, and Phaedra says that Nene calls her every day to check in on her.
Nene's calling in every day so she can say she can.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say. She's just like getting, she's team building. She's getting an ally. So, so one thing that happens, so there's all this talk about, so Apollo has produced these texts, alleged texts from Phaedra to an African prince, Mr. Chocolate. And so was it this episode that Kenya sees it for the first time? And Kenya turns it into a sob story for herself because she's like, everyone says that she was the one who always called me a whore, but she is the whore. For all this whore, everyone's calling everyone a whore, but she is the biggest whore of all. She's crying.
You don't get to call me a whore. You don't get to call me a whore.
It's like, whore. I heard everybody in America at that point yell at their TV, whore.
Yeah.
I sure as hell did. We'll like, put don't this... tell me not to call you a whore, whore.
Yeah, be sure, Kenya, be sure to dog ear this for your pilot about the housewives. I'm sure it'll be really good. Whore shaming. So anyway, they all wind up at Fogo de Chao. And so they're all actually having like a pretty like friendly dinner. And then Cynthia tries to stir the pot. And it's like, is the worst, most awkward pot stirring. It was so bad that everyone at the table made fun of her in an interview.
Cynthia is so bad at this. And can we just go back 1 second to the scene with Cynthia and Peter?
Oh, God.
Where Cynthia's like, babe, you know, everybody knows about this text now and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, look, babe, this isn't about us, babe. This is about them, babe. It's their business. I'm like, you're the one who brought it up on national TV, dick, and read the texts that he gave you on national. I mean, come on now.
I know.
It's like, let's mind our own business, babe. Yeah, right.
You're so Uncle stupid.
So they have that dinner, and then Cynthia, so bad at her job still, tries to bring it up. And instead of just saying, hey, we've all been talking behind your back about these texts that Apollo showed my husband, so what's up? She's like, well, you know, I think it's really important that we all sit down together at a restaurant. And first we wait for the water to be filled. And then someone brings us bread. And then we look over the menus. And then it's important that we order a glass of wine or something. And then it's super important that we ask about the specials. And then, you know, I was thinking, like, something that's super important for us to talk about is, like, you know, when you get the bill, like, how do you split it? Do you ask the waiter to do it? Or do you do it? Also, Phaedra, you're cheating with a black guy named Chocolate. It's like, what? Just say it!
It was so awkward and so awful. I mean, Phaedra had a right to be pissed off right then and there.
I agree. And then I love how Kenya just couldn't let Cynthia do it anymore. And she was like, you're sleeping with some African man named Chocolate.
And Phaedra's like, well, this seems to be like a running theme with this group, an African man or whatever, you know.
And then Phaedra went after her with a pocketbook.
Yeah. Well, actually, though, it was funny that, like, I think it was Phaedra who made the point that was like, Apollo proved that he could fake text messages before. Like, why is it that when Apollo shows text messages between you, as in Kenya, between you and him, that those are fake, and yet now he shows it with me and, like, Mr. Chocolate, and those have to be taken on face value?
That's true. I forgot that those were faked messages.
Yeah, Apollo knows
how to do it. I forgot that he did that before.
All you have to do is, like, find an accomplice or someone or anyone, text them, and then just write it in your contacts as Phaedra, you know?
Yeah.
And then it looks like it's a text from Phaedra. Like, it's, like, the easiest thing to do.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, that was pretty good. Do you think,
Kenya stood up and was about to, like, smack Kenny, I'm not Kenny, I'm in Phaedra. Phaedra's about to smack Kenny. She got up and she almost went Lisa Rinna on her. She got her pocketbook. She almost lost her temper. Ran out of there. It was great.
And then Kenya was like, yeah, you do it just like Portia did last year and got her ass thrown in jail, which is just what you want.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised Kenya wasn't like, I got glass in my hair.
She's like, I got knockoff purse lint in my hair. It hurts.
Knockoff purse lint. Does that mean the lint is from a knockoff purse or the lint is a knockoff in and of itself?
No, the lint is from the knockoff purse.
No, it's knockoff lint from the knockoff purse. Like, this isn't lint from that knockoff purse. This is knockoff lint from that knockoff purse.
The fact that Phaedra does her confessionals in this episode in that dress, it's like,
oh yeah, out of nowhere, this
that wedding dress with like diamonds and chandeliers shit hanging off of it. Oh my god, I love that.
And then they were like, notice how Candy was slow to walk up and get behind Phaedra. They were trying so hard. They're like, did you notice that Candy didn't even say anything to you? Candy's back there. Candy's doing this. I was like, you guys are so awful.
Yeah, they really, they're all disgusting.
What else is Candy? You know Candy loves her food. She wasn't going to leave that. She's like, I am not leaving until I turn this thing red. This thing.
Yeah, and plus it's free because you know Bravo's paying for it. Brent, she's not going to leave her free ass chicken sandwich there, whatever she was eating.
Yeah, and by the way, that made me want to go to Fogo de Chao so badly. And yesterday I was in traffic right next to it and I was watching it through the window. There's a new Fogo de Chao downtown. And I was watching the waiter like slice off the meat from the skewer. And I felt like, please, sir, could I have some more?
What is that place? I've never been there.
It's a Brazilian steakhouse where you pay like, I think it's like a $50 price fixed, prefixed, whatever. There's one on La Cienega. There's one in downtown now. And it's like all you can eat meat. And then a huge salad bar with all those like Brazilian cheese balls.
Oh, I love it.
I've never been to Fogo de Chao, but I've been to like a knockoff in Long Beach. That was average, but Fogo de Chao is actually supposed to be really good. I just love that they always have these fights in these giant, like these upscale national chains. Like, it's always at, like, Rosa Mexicana or, like, Fogo de Chao or, I don't know, like, the whatever grill, Capital Grill. You know, they just go to, like, upscale fast casual.
Yeah, little chainy chains.
Yeah.
What else happened in this episode?
I can't remember anything that happens on Sunday.
You know, I have to say that to me, Atlanta is the most entertaining. I mean, it's the one I watch and I just laugh and I love it. And even if we weren't doing this, it's probably the one I would never miss.
Yeah.
But I never really have that much to talk about.
Well,
I don't know why.
Yeah. Because a lot of the drama is like the same stuff.
I just think they're all so funny. Like, even the ones I hate, like Nene, I hate half the time that she's on the screen, but I still love watching her.
Yeah.
Like, I would still be actually excited if I met Nene, you know?
Yeah, I feel like, well, we had a lot to say a few weeks ago when Claudia took down Nene. That was a really fun episode. That was a really great one. And then it's always sort of like the same shit every single week, and it's, like, entertaining, but, like, what else can you say on it? Which is kind of funny because Vanderpump Rules is the same thing every week, but yet we find ways to just, like, exhaust it. Like, just, I mean, we just basically say, seriously, seriously, for 20
minutes.
Well, it
might just be because we leave Atlanta till last, and we're so tired by the time we get to it, but I really just don't have anything to say about it.
I know, I don't.
I fucking love it.
Yeah, yeah. It's fun.
I love everybody on it, even stupid Cynthia I love on this stupid show.
Cynthia really is, she was so bad this week.
She's lame.
I mean, really, seriously? Seriously, Cynthia? She's like, I think we all have things we have to say, but we don't want to say them, and we should say them as proper women, but, you know, we put them out there, and we don't have to put them out there. We put it on the table, but under the table, and when I turn this green, you all say what the problem is. When I turn it red, you stop, and then you get some meat, but only meat with the green, but don't say it with the red.
So stupid. What are all these women doing teaming up with Kenya? I mean, what are they thinking teaming up with Kenya? Do they think that she's not going to turn right around and screw them
over? The enemy of my enemy is my friend, and Kenya
stupid,
is the enemy of Mimi.
She's gonna. I mean, the casting is great this year.
Yeah. Oh, it's. I love how there's like basically two factions, two groups. I love
and
when that happens.
You really have to hand it to Kenya, but also Claudia for completely bringing Mimi down. Mimi's done.
Yeah,
Nene has really nothing left to do because she's been put in her place.
Yeah.
And nobody's listening to her anymore. She has her power has been completely sapped. And I like when Kenya said, have you noticed that everybody comes against me goes down in flames? Which is kind of true if you look at the show.
Yeah.
But I think Claudia gave her a lot of help. She tried to bring Nene down and couldn't. Right. But with Claudia's help, she brought the bitch down. She's down now.
I want Claudia and Nene to fight again. I don't know if they will or not. But I hope
they do. Yeah, I think Claudia like maybe felt stupid after the first time and is now trying to be nicer, but
yeah.
Hopefully not.
There's always the reunion whenever that is.
Oh my god. Well, how long is this show? It's on episode 16 or 17, like.
Yeah.
Oh my god, what episode is Beverly Hills on, do you know?
I don't know, but
I think they
taped their reunion, so I think it's coming up soon because Beverly Hills and Vanderpump.
Well, they taped it early because Yolanda had to go get medical treatment for Lyme's.
Yeah, well, no, Vanderpump Rules and Beverly Hills premiered, I think, the same week, so it's gonna be wrapping up pretty soon.
Well, no, because they have more than Vanderpump Rules. They're only on episode 16. They just did episode 16. They usually go to 23. Well, so
yeah, I mean they're at the vacation. So once the vacation happens,
got 2 months left.
No, vacation usually means it's like 3 or 4 episodes after the vacation,
and then 3 reunions.
Yeah,
so we've got 2 months left of that, darling.
Stephanie, darling. Well, I'm sure there'll be another Atlanta vacation coming up soon. And
and then we have the Melbourne Wives starting tomorrow or tonight, depending on when you're listening to this.
Or yesterday, depending on when and where.
That's what I mean.
You never know. It could be tonight, tomorrow, or yesterday.
Maybe it was a year ago. When are you listening to this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, going back to the future.
Who am I to judge your timeline?
Yeah. All right, well, I think that's it for this. I think we've done a lot of talking today. We've been talking for...
That is a lot of talking. I'm exhausted. After the gay shit on the bonus episode.
I know, between the bonus episode and all this stuff, like, I am talked out.
We went all gay politics on the gay episode. I mean, on the bonus episode.
The bonus episode. I'm tired. We were really serious a lot, because we were getting real serious about sobriety, too. We're like, she is an addict, and she needs to take accountability, and that's not like she should...
Well, I've just had really serious issues in my life this week with both gayness and addiction. Yeah. So I'm like super sensitive with all that shit. So sorry if I went a little off the rails there, everybody.
It's
but all right.
The truth is
my outlet, all right? I don't know people in real life. You're it.
Yeah.
You're it, people.
The truth
you
is
can hear all of it.
The truth is there's only one pill that Kim Richards needs to take. It's a chill pill, okay? Take a chill pill, Kim.
Take a pill to chill, Kim. Oh,
yeah,
and
why don't
please,
you OD on a chill pill?
Go watch our friend Amy Phillips' new video of Lisa Rinna.
Oh, she got that voice down.
She is so good. So go to Bravo. Go to the Bravo site and watch her ass do Lisa Rinna. Really good. Hashtag
well, hustler. It's not literally her ass, but that would be funny if it was like Ace Ventura style.
And happy birthday, Paula. What else do we have to say? We're done, right?
Yeah, so if you want to hear this infamous bonus episode where we talk about gay politics, just go to patreon.com/watchwhatcrapins. Or on our Facebook page, there'll be a link up to it. There'll be a link to the Patreon link. Okay?
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
So the way it works is that we put the link to the private episode on Patreon. So if you go to our Facebook page, you can find the link to Patreon, which will then point you to the episode. It's a little confusing, but it's actually pretty easy. That's it,
everybody. Thanks for listening.
I'm gonna eat a sandwich and then I'm gonna upload this.
Do it.
All right, bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Where's the stop button? Bye.
I'm it.
That's so Persian. Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. No need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny and I love you.